Today, Shem Sef decided to Daf Chaf. We will begin Bezer Hashem is Baruch and Daf Chaf Amar Aleph at the Mishnah towards the top of the Amid. The Mishnah continues to discuss the procedure of what was done with the Saita as she drinks the Mei HaMemorim. Says the Mishnah, Achlei Nimchaka Megillah, till the Megillah was erased. Amra, if the woman says, Eini Shaisa, I don't want to drink. The halacha is meglasa negnezes. They put away the Megillah. So Rashi says that negnezes betzido shel hechel. They put it on the side of the hechel, which it seems that there was a place there where they kept the Sheamus. And this is Sheamus because it has the Shem Hashem. The Mefarshim ask, why did it have to be put into Sheamus? Why couldn't it just been given for children to learn from? So the Mefarshim explained that since that it had a very significant level of Kedusha, it was originally designated to be for the Mei HaMa'arim. So since it has this high level of Kedusha, it's inappropriate that it should be put on, it should be just left out for children to learn from. Another pshat is that since this Megillah was written for this woman, if every time, if it was still made public and it was still made available, so every time somebody would use this Megillah to learn from, what happened was people would begin to reminisce and say, well, what is the history of this Megillah? The history of this Megillah is that this was the Megillah that was designated for this woman who was a Saita, and we don't want to have that type of a situation where this woman will be remembered and be embarrassed for everybody. And that's the same reason the Mefarshim say it was left within the Hechel. It wasn't taken out of the Hechel. Because if it would have been taken out of the Hechel, people, again, would remember that it was used. It was originally designated for this woman. However, the Mesoris HaShas says that the proper girsa in Rashi is not betzidei hechel, not that there was a place on the side which was designated for Sheamus, but the right girsa is betzira hechel. Tzira hechel is the hinge of the hechel. And as I saw the Mefarshim explain, that one is of course not to allow to directly erase a Megillah that has on it Shem Hashem. They just left it in a spot that is the hinge, near the hinge of the door. And since it was left on the hinge of the door, it was erased by when every time the door opened and closed. And the way I saw that the Achronim explained that this is really connected to a very, very fundamental question. We of course know, the Torah Kedusha says, V'sasun kein l'Hashem l'keichem. There's a very serious issur to erase the Shem Hashem. The question is, if putting the Shem Hashem by a hinge of the door and it'll get erased by itself, is that considered a violation of L'Sasu Kein L'Hashem L'Keichem? And that's really the discussion that we're having here. The one that holds that it was put B'tzidei Hechel holds that it was put in Sheamus. We have to be very careful that any document that it has on it, the Shem Hashem, be treated with the proper respect. The other one says, leaving it there indefinitely is an issue. And therefore what was done was put Bitzira Hechel. It was put by the hinge. It will get erased by people opening and closing the door, but it won't get, nobody's directly erasing it, and therefore they hold that it's not considered an issue. A Mechikas Hashem. The Korban Mincha that had been designated, that now will not be brought, Mispaseres al Adeshin, is dispersed on the Deshin. There's a place in the Beis HaMikdash which is called the Beis HaDeshin, which is where all Kabbanists that get disqualified get dispersed there. And therefore, again, the Mefarshim point out, we disperse it over there, not in a quiet, quick manner, to avoid any embarrassment. Now, as just to review what we learned earlier, if she had said that she doesn't want to drink before the mincha was put into Kli Sharis, the halacha is that that mincha would be able to go to Chulin. We had a discussion, it could be Chulin, it could be Pidyon, but here it's certainly not an option because it was already put into the Kli Sharis and it has in it Kedusha. Once it has in it Kedusha, it cannot just be go back to Chulin. Vein Megillasik Sheira, but what cannot be done, you cannot use this Megillah Lehashkis by Saita Acheris. She can't use it, it can't be used for another woman. However, the Sefer Micha Chareva points out that for another woman, it can never be used. But let's say there will be again an episode of Kinui and Stira with this woman. It seems from our Mishnah that it would be reusable for this woman. Says the Mishnah further. However, Nimcha Kamagil, the Megillah was already erased. And at that point, Vamra, and the woman says, Tamei Ani, and I'm Tamei, and therefore I shouldn't drink. The Aloch is Amayim Nishpachim. The water should be spilled out. And the Mefarshim point out, the whole point of going through the procedure of the Meisaita is to determine if the woman is innocent or guilty. But this woman has already admitted that she's guilty, so there's no point in going through it. And it seems that it wouldn't necessarily even work. Because as we've discussed in previous shurim, if the Saita is guilty and we know she's guilty for independently, then the Meis Saita don't work. When Minchasa and Mincha is dispersed, Abeis Hadeshin on the Beis Hadeshin. Nimcha Kamagillah. But now the Mishnah speaks about a situation where the Megillah was already erased. Vamra, and the woman says, Eini Shaisa, I refuse to drink. She hasn't admitted that she's guilty. She just says, I don't want to go through this procedure. I don't want to drink. Eini Shaisa, I refuse to drink. That, again, and here I saw interesting discussion. The Yushami says that if even just one or two letters of the Megillah were erased, that's already considered Nimcha Kamegillah. The Karen Ira says that Nimcha Kamegillah, according to the Bavli, means that it was entirely erased. Once it was entirely erased, and at that point the woman says, Eini Shaisa, I don't want to drink. Again, not that she's admitting that she's guilty, she's just saying, I don't want to go through this procedure. The halacha is Ma'aron Oisa, we force her at that point to drink. We force her to drink. She's not giving a drink. The Achronim discuss what would happen if the husband would say that I don't want her to drink at this point. The Mishnah spoke about a case where the woman refuses to drink. What about a situation where the husband refuses to drink? I want to stop the works. The Beis Shmuel says if the husband says, at this point, I don't want my wife to drink, Bezdin says the Beis Shmuel could force him, at this point, still to continue the process. Similar to what the Mishnah says regarding the woman. It seems that the other Achroinim disagree. And they say that if the husband wants to stop the works, the husband could stop the work. The question really is, because is this a mitzvah? If it's a mitzvah, at this point, we want to go through with it all the way. That's one way of looking at it. But if the other way of looking at it, it's not a mitzvah. It's only something that's taking place between the husband and the wife. And if the husband doesn't want, then we can't force this situation to proceed. Animus pekas lishtois. So now the Mishnah says, once she begins to drink, and she is actually guilty, Eina mespekes lishtois, ad shepaneh marikos, her face turns green. And the Miri says, from here we see that if a woman drank and she's guilty, the Mishnah says her face turns green. So then when the woman is innocent, says the Miri, on the contrary, the halacha is, then what will happen was her face will shine. Achvanam Marikos, Vinet Baltos, when her eyes begin to bulge, Vimas Malelas Gidin, her face swells up, Vahim Omrim, and the people standing there say, Hatsiua, remove her quickly, Shloitame Hazara, take her out. Taisva says, Hatsiua, Tatsiua, that they said it twice. They were most anxious to get her out as quickly as possible. Moreover, I saw that the Achronim point out that who the Hatsiu, it wasn't that they instructed the Kohanim to take her out, because the Kohanim, we don't want them to become Tamei, and there's a real possibility that she's going to pass away, and the Kohanim coming in touch with her will become Tamei. So Tzio means that the people there, the women or others who were there, are the ones that remove it quickly. Says the Mishnah, Yesh le Schus, if the woman had a schus, and we're going to spend time in the Gemara identifying what type of schus we're talking about, Hoysa Toila, then sometimes it could prevent from her dying immediately. Yesh schus Toila Shanachas, sometimes that it could last a year. Yesh schus Toila Shteshanim, sometimes it could be 2 years. Yesh schus Toila Shalashanim, and sometimes 3 years. The Ein Yaakov says, why do we wait for her eyes to bulge and for her to become green? Why don't we take her out as soon as she drinks? Because using the concept that we've often discussed in our Masechta Reglaim L'Davar, there's strong reason to believe that this woman is guilty. So that's exactly, says the Ein Yaakov, what the Mishnah means to teach us. The Mishnah is telling us, why don't we remove her immediately? Because it's very possible that even if she's guilty, nothing's going to happen so quickly, and therefore there's no need to immediately remove her. What is the 1 year, the 2 years, and the 3 years? So Ben Yoyada explains, there are certain mitzvahs that only apply by day, which is 12 hours long, and therefore she gets 12 months for those 12 hours a day. There are mitzvahs that apply by day and night, and therefore those mitzvahs are mitzvahs we could perform 24 hours a day, and for that she gets 24 months. And then there's some that apply even 36 hours. The example he gives is Yom Kippur, because we know kol oichel b'tshi, whoever eats on Erev Yom Kippur, kilo sanet shi vish asiri. So you have Erev Yom Kippur, 12 hours, and the 24 hours of Yom Kippur is a total of 36 hours. Corresponding to that mitzvah, she gets 36 minutes. Mikan Amar Ben Azai, based on this, Ben Azai said, Chayiv Adam Lilmad Espadit Torah. A person should teach his daughter Torah. Why? Shem Tishta. Because what we want to have here is a situation that if she's going to drink and nothing happens, but she knows that she's guilty, she'll know that the reason nothing happened is not because Chas V'Sholem, the Meisoita on that don't work. She'll know because she has a schus. A person should teach his daughter Torah. Shem Tishta, because if she will drink, then Teida shall know schus Torah law, and that's why nothing happened. Rebbe Lezer disagrees. Call a malamitz bitay Torah. Whoever teaches his daughter Torah, kilo lamda teflus. It's like teaching her to behave immorally. The Rabbi Shua disagrees, and he says, Ratzi isha b'kava teflus. A woman will be satisfied to have just less food, but she had the company of a husband, matisha kavan apricious, rather to have more food, but not have relations with her husband. And that's why, as we learned in Masechta Ksubis, Tosfos quotes this, that the halacha is, the Gemara over there identifies how often one has to have relations with his wife. The Gemara says a chamor, a person who's a donkey driver, has relations once a week, and a gamel, a camel driver, once every 6 months, and therefore she would prefer to have a husband who's a donkey driver, who maybe doesn't have the same type of parnosa, but she'll have more opportunity to have relations with him than the husband who's a camel driver, who who may make a better income, but she won't have his company. Who are your Omer? Continues the Gemara, what Rabbi Shu used to say, Chosid Shaita. We're going to discuss this more. Somebody who's a chosid, but he's a fool. As we're going to learn, what that means is somebody who sees a woman drowning and he refuses to come close to her. A Rasha Orem, or somebody who gives people bad advice. Isha Prusha, a woman who's really not that great, but she acts as if she's special, she separates herself. Or Makis Prushim, people who hurt themselves, fast and do those type of activities, fasting every day, the Miri says, which is not appropriate. Hare Elu Mavle Olam. They're trying to show off that they're tzaddikim, but really their behavior is totally unacceptable. So this is the Gemara that speaks, this is the Mishnah and the Gemara we're going to learn that speaks about teaching girls Torah. The Chosmog Rebbe says, Kamalam to speak to Torah, says the Gemara that the Gemara is going to ask, Kila Malam to Tiflis, why is that considered that the teaching Tiflis? Why would we considered a girl learning Torah is like learning something which is so inappropriate? So the Chosmog Rebbe explains that Chas V'Sholem, the Gemara doesn't mean to say that a girl learning Torah is considered so terrible. What the Gemara means to say is that if a girl is taught Torah, and the Torah she's taught is the same like every subject, it's just another subject, it's Kil Amda Tuflis. If a girl is taught Torah, she has to be taught Torah to understand, to learn that Torah is not just another subject. Another pshat that I saw from Rabbi Aaron Cutler. Rabbi Aaron Cutler says what the Gemara means to say is that if the girl in the time that she's not studying Torah is doing something positive, constructive, then it's worth teaching her, then she shouldn't learn Torah. But if the girl, in the time that she's learning Torah, is learning Tiflis, is wasting her time, of course it's much better that such a girl, instead of wasting her time, should learn Torah. There's no excuse. The Ben Yoyada explains that what is pshat when the Gemara says right to isha bekavet tiflis, betisha kavin beprecious, he says that we know that we start with 10 kavin, one kav has to be given for maisa, and that doesn't belong to the rich person. That the maisa goes to poor individual, and what the Mishnah is teaching us is that a woman is prepared bekav, that she should be supported from tzedakah. That she should be supported from tzedakah, just get the kav, but tiflis, have the company of her husband, me'asara kavim, that her husband should be the one that has the money, and he starts with the 10 kavim, and he's the person that's going to give ma'aser and have, and appreciate, but not have the company of her husband. So, of course, there's a very serious discussion, whereas we learned this Gemara. From our Mishnah, it seems that one should not teach his children Torah. But we know, of course, that girls, many women, do learn Torah in our days. And in the history of Klal Yisrael, there were women who were very learned. How do we understand this Gemara? So there are many very important halachic elements. Because the other question is, if women are not obligated, not just not obligated, but women shouldn't be learning Torah, how do women make Birchas HaTorah? So the basic psak that the Pais can give is that certainly anything that a woman needs to learn in order that she should be able to know the halachas of what she has to do, that is not included, that a woman should learn. And the other thing is, there's a difference between Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebal Peh. What our Gemara is referring to here is Torah Shebal Peh. But when we're speaking about Torah Shebiksav, women may and should learn Torah Shebiksav.
Another point that the Paiskim make, there's a difference between if a woman is being taught Torah or a woman is on her own initiative learning Torah. What we're discussing in our shir, they explain, is a woman who is being taught Torah. But a woman who on her own initiative goes and studies Torah, that is permissible. And moreover, the Chavetz Chaim already said that when speaking about the origination of the Beis Yaakov movement, he says that when the family structure in Klal Yisrael was stronger and women learned Torah from their mothers, from their family, and they did not need any other help in studying Torah, so then the Gemara says, Kol Malamnes Bita Torah, Kila Malamda Tiflis. But now he says, we live in a very different world. We live in a world where it's not parents, mothers teaching daughters, families teaching their children. We rely on people going to school to learn Torah. If somebody's going to school to learn Torah, then of course, when that entire structure is changed, certainly the halacha is that, says the Chavetz Chaim, we should encourage girls to study Torah and we should strongly support the Beis Yaakov movement where girls now learn Torah. Says the Gemara. Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel Moshe Rameya. Kshishiyisi loy mitayra etz Rabbi Kiva. When I learned Torah by Rabbi Kiva, hayisi matel kankatam l'taycha diyoy. I had a certain chemical which I put into the ink, with that created that the ink should not be erasable. V'loy amali dover. Rabbi Kiva did not have any issue with what I was doing. Shabbos etz Rabbi Shmuel. When I came to Rabbi Shmuel, Amli b'ni ma malachtecha. He asked me, "What do you do for profession?" Amli lavlavani. I said, "I'm a soifer." Amli b'ni have a zoyer. Be very careful. Shemalachtecha malachas shemayim. Your job is malachas shemayim. And the Meretz Chayis explains the why was he. Why did he specifically say this to Rameya? He says that the Rameya used to write different things on the margins of the sefer to remind him of his divrei Torah, and he wanted him to make sure that everybody should recognize what is the Torah and what is his. Another pshat that the Ben Yoyada suggests is Rameya, as we can well understand, was very, very smart. And because Rameya was so very smart, there was a concern. Rameya, a sefer, normally when he writes, he looks into another chumash, or looks into a sefer Torah, and that's how he writes. Rameya relied on his memory, and because his memory he said, even a very smart person who relies on his memory can make a mistake. Ben Yoyada also explains why is a sefer called Malachtecha Malachas Shemayim, because the Torah is considered like the Shemayim, and therefore somebody who's working and writing Sefer Torah, Malachtecha Malachas Shemayim. Shabbosei Yotzer Rishmol, continues Rameya saying that when I came to Rishmol, Omli, and Rishmol too asked me, B'ni Ma Malachtecha, what do you do? Amati Lelavva, and I told him I'm a Sofer, Omli, B'ni Avazor, be very careful, Shemalachtecha Malachas Shemayim, your job is a Malachas Shemayim. Shematachsa Ois Achas, Oy Tata Rois Achas, you may add or eliminate a letter from the Torah, and Nimtzus Machavas Kalaylam Kuloy, you destroy the whole world. As the Maral explains, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is stakel by Raisa or Bara Alma. The entire world was created because the Kodesh Baruch Hu looked in the Torah, and that's how he created the whole world. And if you don't have the Torah, if you don't have the Torah written 100% properly, the entire existence of the world is in danger. The Ramban says that all the words of the Torah are really Shemus Hashem, are names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, if somebody adds or detracts a letter from the Torah, he's not just playing with the words of the Torah, he's playing with the Shem Hashem, which we, as we discussed at this, the beginning of this year, we have to be very careful with the Shem Hashem. The Rishonim debate, in fact, what is the halacha if a Sefer Torah is missing one letter? Most Rishonim are of the opinion that the Sefer Torah is possible, and if somebody did create a Torah from such a Sefer Torah, he would not be Yotz the Mitzvah's Kriyas Sefer Torah. Tosfos seems to learn that the Sefer Torah is a possible Sefer Torah, but if you led from that Sefer Torah, but the Evid, you got your Yotz the Mitzvah Kriyas Sefer Torah. Amatiloi, so Ramei says, I said to Rabbi Shmuel, Dover Acha Yeshli, I have this chemical, Shanin Matal Teicha Diyoi, that I put into the ink, the Kankatam Shmai, and it's called Kankatam. So Shmuel says to me, is it permissible to write, to put this Kankatam into the ink? Doesn't the Torah say, a Torah Amra V'mocha, K'sav Sh'yochalim Chos, that we have to be able to write, the Sefer Torah would, the Parsha Sota has to be able to be erased. And if you put in this chemical, how you won't be able to erase the Sefer Torah. So Rashi explains, the reason Rabbi Shmuel was careful, that because he holds, as we're going to Mitzvah Shem learn, that you could take the Parsha Sota from a regular Sefer Torah and use that to fulfill, to use it for the Parsha Sota. But if you're going to write that Parsha with ink that can't be erased, how could you ever fulfill that requirement? That's how some Rishonim learned the Gemara, Rashi learns the Gemara. So the question was specifically about the Parsha Sota. But there are other Rishonim that I saw that say that what the Gemara, what Rabbi Shmuel means to say is that since the Parsha Sota has to be written in a way that it could be erased, and the entire Torah should be written in the same fashion. So if the Parsha Sota, as we're learning now, has to be written in a way that it could be erased, then certainly the halacha would be, and any part of the Torah, that it has to be written, that the rest of the Torah also has to be written in a way that it can be erased. Says the Gemara, "My kamalei, my kamahadalei." Let's understand this dialogue. "Hach kamalei," says the Gemara. This order may said to Rabbi Shmuel, "Lo mi bai b'chaseris yaseris." Certainly about extra letters or extra adding a letter or leaving out a letter, Dabaki and Yad, I'm quite familiar not to make a mistake. Ela fila mechish lezvuv da alma. Even lezvuv, for an ant or a worm, the dum osv yosa atag the dalit, we have Ayusral Hashem Elkeno Hashem Echod, and there may be a worm that will deposit itself by the part that sticks out of the dalit, or machikle, and will erase it, or mashvil erase, and now look like a resh, and that will be, of course, terrible, because it will look like Shema Yisrael Hashem Elkein Hashem Acher. So he says, I don't need to worry about that, because Dover Echad Yeshli Shani Matal Toich Adiyoy, I have this ingredient that I put into the ink, the Kankatam Shemoy. So there are two ways I saw the Rishonim explain what he meant to say. One is that the Kankatam prevents that anything should be able to get erased. Another pshat that I saw is what the Kankatam is a type of a chemical that the ants are repulsed from it. And since the ants are repulsed from it, they won't come close to that ink. Any, says the Gemara of Atanya, Amar Meir, Shiyosu, Loi Matayet Rabbi Shmuel, he says what I was learning to Rabbi Shmuel, Hayisi Matal Kankatam L'Teich Adiyoy, I used to put the Kankatam into the ink, V'Loi Amalai Dava, he didn't say anything to me. And then he continued saying, "Shabasa Eitz Rabbi Kiva." When I came to learn Torah Rabbi Kiva, Asra Lai. Then he said, "I shouldn't use it." So I asked the Gemara, "Kasha Akasha." The one question we have is, by whom did he learn first? From the first price, it seems, the first he studied by Rabbi Kiva, and then he went to study by Rabbi Shmuel. The second price seems to say that he first learned by Rabbi Shmuel, and then he went to learn by Rabbi Kiva. The Kasha Asra Asra, who was the Brisa, who was the Tana that told him not to use it? From the first Brisa, it seems it was Rabbi Shmuel who was the Tana that told him, I don't want you to use this chemical. And the second Brisa, it seems it was Rabbi Kiva who said, I don't want you to use this chemical. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Shimish Shimish Lakasha. The way to reconcile how to understand by whom did he study first, by whom did he study second. Mikara Asl Kamei de Rekiva. He in fact first went to learn by Rabbi Kiva. However, Kiva de Le Matza Kam Alibay, he wasn't able to understand Rabbi Kiva's shir. As I saw, Rashi explains. We know Rabbi Kiva explained Kol Koitz or Koitz Shabbatayra. He explained every little mark in the Torah, and that was too difficult for him to fathom before he was fully developed. So therefore, Asl Kamed Rabbi Shmuel v'Gam Gemara. He went first to learn Rabbi Shmuel, and he learned Gemaras. He learned many brises. He amassed a lot of knowledge, and now, after he amassed all that knowledge, Hadassal Kamed Rabbi Kiva. Now he was able to go learn by Rabbi Kiva's Savasvara and understand Rabbi Kiva's Lomdus. Ella Asra Asra Kasha. But ask the Gemara, what about who was the Tana that said it's Asr? Was it Rabbi Kiva or Rabbi Shmuel that disallowed the use of Kaktam? Says the Gemara, Kasha. It's a question. So I saw, why does the Gemara say Kasha? Why doesn't the Gemara say a Tiyufta? Because these are brises, and each one heard a different version. That is a kasha, not a Tiyufta. Tanya b'Yehuda Omer Meir, l'chama tilim kankatam v'techa diyoy. You're always allowed to put kankatam into the ink, chutz mi parasha soita b'vad, except in the parasha soita. Rabbi Yaakov Omer Mishmai, chutz mi parasha soita shal b'migdash. The parasha soita that was used, if they wrote a parasha for the Soita that was brought to the Beis HaMikdash. Ask the Gemara Mai Benayu, what is the basis of their machloikus? Amr Rabbi Yirmiya, as we discussed earlier in the shiur. Limchoik minatoyrev kibinayu. The nafkamina is, can you take a regular Sefer Torah and take out the Parsha Soita from a regular Sefer Torah and use it for a Soita? The Tana that says that you can, therefore says anytime you're writing a Parsha Soita, yeah, you have to be careful not to use kankatum, which prevents the ink from being erasable, because you may end up using that parasha, that Sefer Torah, for the Soita. And I saw that the Sefer Torah's Kanaz points out, we learned earlier that you don't even write the entire parasha. Only there's a machlokes if you write the entire parasha. And we had Tanoim that said we only wrote certain psukim. But they explain, even the Tanoim that hold that we only write certain psukim agree that we can't have the Parsha Soita written with two types of diyoi, one with kankatam, one without kankatam. They look differently. But if you can't use it, so then only the Parsha Soita that's written specifically can't have diyoi in it. Rabbi Kiva Eger quotes a tshuva from Marila Beis Levi. He says that there's a discussion if the Parsha Soita has to be written by a Kohen. So if we're going to say that they could use the Sefer Torah that's in the Heichal, to say any Sefer Torah for the Parsha Soita, so then the only one that could ever write a Sefer Torah, he suggests, could be a Kohen, because maybe, as we're learning now, according to the opinion that we could use the Parsha Soita and any Sefer Torah for a Soita, if it wasn't written by a Kohen, it would be disqualified, so we would have to be careful to use the Sefer Torah written by a Kohen. V'hani Tanoi, it says the Gemara, this machlokes that we have of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yaakov, Kani Tanoi, is really reflected in another machlokes Tanoim. The Tanya, Ein Migalosik Sher Lahashkas Basoita Ksara Cheres. The Parsha Soita has to be written specifically for this Soita. And therefore, according to this Tana, you could be not use a Sefer Torah, because the Sefer Torah, of course, is not written for a specific woman. The Megillah does not have to be written specifically for a certain Soita. Says the Gemara, not necessarily is this Machlaikus the same as the previous Machlaikus. Amar Papa Dimalahi. At Kan Le Kamatana Kama Hasam Ella Inkik Lashem Rachel. If the Parsha Soita was written for Rachel, Le Hodra Mintka Lashem Leah, it cannot be used for Leah. Avot Torah, But with Sefer Torah, the Tamak Siva, it's not written for any with any specific woman in mind. Hachinami the Machkinan. Amar Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Demalohi. At Kalakam Rav Acha by Oisha Hossam, that the halacha, if it was written for one woman, it could be used for another woman. Elam Megillah, that at least it's a parasha soita. It's not just the Sefer Torah. The Icht of L'shem Oilus B'Oilam, it was written for the purpose of the soita procedure. Ava Taira, the Laslamda Ksiva. The reason we have a Sefer Torah, it's not for Pasha Saita. It's written to be a Sefer Torah from which we learn. Hachinami, he would agree, Deloy Machkinen. So the Gemara is saying that these two Machlaikasin do not at all necessarily travel together. But ask the Gemara, Rav Acha Bei Yoshe Leslei, Rav Acha Bei Yoshe says that you could use the Pasha Saita that was written for one woman for another woman. Does he not agree what the Gemara teaches us often in Masechta Gittin? Kasel Garish Ishtai. If somebody wrote a get to divorce his wife, the Nimlach, and then he changes his mind, and Matzben that doesn't want a Baruch Hashem divorce her, or Matzben Ira, then he meets somebody from his town, Vamaloi, who has his name is the same as his name, his wife's name is the same as his wife's name, Vamaloi Shmi Kishimcha, our names are the same. Our wives' names are the same. We're living in the same city. Because the get has to be written l'shma. So how could Rav Acha Bei Yoshe ask the Gemara suggest that the Saita could use somebody else's, you could use the Megillah written for another woman, for this woman? The Torah says in that parasha law. Answers Gemara Amri. Hasam by a get for kos of law amrachmana. The Torah uses the words of kos of law. Therefore, the Be'inin Ksiva L'shma, as the Gemara often in Masechta Gittin teaches us, that a get has to be written L'shma. Hacha, but when we speak about the Saita, Vasala, when the Torah says M'asa, it means the Ma'asiya Mechika. All the Torah means is the Mechika, because as I saw, the Sefer Milchus Kanas explains, when we think about a Saita, the main activity that's done with a Saita is the erasure. Everything else is not really what's critical, and therefore, as long as the erasure was done l'shma, even though the ksiva was not l'shma, it would not disqualify. We learned from the Mishnah, Eina Mespekes Lishtais, she doesn't finish drinking the water at Shepanea until her face turns green. Says the Gemara Mani, who is the Tana of our Mishnah? Rav Shimon he. It follows the opinion of Shimon. Domei Makavis Menchasa. That a woman, as we discussed previously, Rav Shimon's opinion is, the first the carbon mincha is brought, v'akach mashka, and only afterwards does she drink the meis saita. The kamdoi carbon menchasa, because as long as she did not bring a carbon mincha, lebot kolamayim, the water can't be effective. The ksiv, as the pasuk clearly indicates, mincha sikara maskeris oven. So if they didn't bring the carbon mincha yet, the meis saita cannot be potent. Ask the Gemara. So we're learning that who is the Tana of our Mishnah? Reb Shimon. So ask the Gemara, Amos Sefer, let's continue learning our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, a woman, yesh le schus, if a woman, which we're going to be discussing in our previous shiur, has a schus, hoysatala, sometimes it'll be effective that the mei soita should not be effective immediately. That, ask the Gemara, is obviously following the opinion of Rabbanan. Dear Reb Shimon, we've learned Reb Shimon's opinion, and we're going to learn Reb Shimon teaches us, the schus is not effective. Amar Rav Chisda answers the Gemara, who is the Tana of our Mishnah? Rabbi Kiva. Damra, Rabbi Kiva, we learned, is of the opinion, Machav es minchasai, vachach mashka. The first they bring the carbon mincha, and only then she drinks. Ubeschus, and therefore, the Mishnah is referring to a case where she already drank. And on the other hand, beschus, regarding the issue of schus, in that subject, he doesn't agree with Rav Shimon. Rather, Savala Rabbanan, he follows the opinion of the Rabbanan that schus is effective for the Saita. And actually, Tosfos points out that when we learned the opinion of Akiva about what comes first, the carbon mincha or the drinking, we saw the Gemara said, Trei Tanoia leave the Akiva. There was a machloikis what the Akiva held. Our Gemara is obviously following the opinion of the Tanoim that hold that according to Rekiva, first they brought the Karban Mincha and then she drank. And if they tell her, as they see her getting affected by the Meisaita, they tell her to leave the Azara. My Tama, ask them, why do we need to get her out? The Dilma Mesa, maybe she'll die. We don't want her in the Azara if she passes away. Ask the Gemara, Lememra, the Meis Osir Machna Levia, is the halacha that a Meis may not be in the on the Harabayas? But Tanya, Tamei Meis Mutal Lekonis Lemachna Levia, someone who's a Tamei Meis is allowed to be on the Machna Levia. V'loy Tamei Meis Blavad Amru, not only a Tamei Meis may be in the Harabayas, El Afila Meis Atzmai, even the Meis himself, as we've learned earlier in our Masechta Shnema, v'yikach Moshe's Atzmos Yosef Imoi. Moshe Rabbeinu had the body of Yosef with him all 40 years in the Midbar. Imam Mechitzosei, together with Moshe Rabbeinu. And where was Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu was a Levi. He was in the Machna Levi, in the Har Abayis. Answered the Gemara indeed. The Tumah that we're concerned about is not Tumas Mes. The Tumah we're concerned about is Shema Tefras Nida. And a woman who's a Nida may not be in the Machna Levia. Ask the Gemara Lememra, does that mean to say the Besusoi Rapia, the fear of the Mayim Amorim caused it to become a Nida? In. It says the Gemara, yes, we have a precedent for this. The Ksiv, when Esther was informed of what happened to Mordechai, the Mishnah, the Pasuk in the Megillah says, V'tischalchel ha-malka ma'oid, v'amarav, she-pierced a Nida. The fear caused her to become a Nida. So here too, the fear is going to cause her to become a Nida. Ask the Gemara, is that true that fear causes a woman to become a Nida? V'atanan, have we not learned the Mishnah Masech, the Nida, that flametesam and aliv, that charoda, lekastamim? A woman has to constantly check herself in the world that they lived in, of Tum and Tahara, if she became a Nida, because anything she touches becomes Tameh. But if a woman Veset came, the time when she's supposed to see Dam, and she didn't see Dam, there's a question, did she miss it or she Tahor? So the Mishnah says there, if she experienced something that causes her to be scared, then we could be confident that she didn't see her Dam, even though it might have been in a time that we should be assuming that she would see Dam. Because the fear causes that she should not see Dam. So we have here a question. Does fear cause Dam or does fear remove Dam? Answers the Gemara. Had Pachta, something that doesn't come suddenly, Tzomis, causes the Dam not to come. Bisusa, but something that comes suddenly, Marpia, causes Dam. And here we're dealing with a situation of something that happens suddenly, that she drinks the Meisaita, and therefore it causes her to become a Nida. Tosfos, the very mask of Bisusa, asks that the Gemara says, the Gemara Masechet Nida says that even though obviously when a woman passes away, she's in a situation of fear because of the Malach HaMavis, still we don't assume that a woman who passed away is a Nida unless we have proof that she's a Nida. Now, so here we see that it's a sudden fear. It's a sudden fear that, and still it doesn't cause that she become a Nida. So Tosfos answers because the Malach HaMavis is only becomes visible to the person at the moment of death. And since, as the Achronim explain what Tosfos means, at that point her body shuts down. And therefore, even though seeing the Malach HaMavis, which is certainly a sudden fear, should cause her to become a Nida, but because her body shuts down, that's why she doesn't become a Nida.